Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now I'll turn the meeting over to your host, Dan Savitt. You may begin.
Terrific. Hi, everybody. It's Dan, and I just want to welcome everybody to my first all-staff conference call as VNSNY's new president and CEO. I just want you to know I'm really excited to be working with all of you in this new role, and many of you know that for the last 3 years I've been executive vice president and chief financial officer, and over the last 7 months I've been working with Marky on the transition, and I really appreciate, as we all do, everything Marky has done for the organization and certainly did for me the last 7 months in this transition. And so with that, I'm continuing the tradition that she started with these weekly conference calls. And so as a reminder, please send your questions. We had a previous email. We've changed the email inbox because we want to expand this call beyond just the pandemic and what we're doing around COVID-19. And so that email box is askceo@vnsny.org. Again, it's askceo@vnsny.org, and that would have been in the email around the announcing the call. So, I look forward to people's questions, and we'll do what we always do at the end, and we'll do our best to answer every one of them. All right, so first, I am going to start with the COVID-19 update. We're at a challenging point in the evolution of the COVID pandemic. We all know the U.S. is working to increase the distribution of both the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines. And three other COVID vaccines are getting closer to approval, including J&J's single-shot vaccine, which is expected to apply to the FDA for emergency use authorization later in the month. At the same time, we see the news, right, around the new variants of the coronavirus and that are emerging both around the world and now starting to emerge here in the U.S., and that creates some additional uncertainty. But it's very important to recognize that all the vaccines now being studied offer very good protection against serious COVID illness. So as the vaccines become more available, COVID-19 should become a manageable illness, much like the flu. Of course, we're going to encourage the vaccination. So here at VNSNY, our vaccination program is ramping up. After a pause last week, there was a reduced supply across the region. We have a good number of vaccine slots still available for this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, as well as Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. So if you qualify and haven't yet been vaccinated, please do so. Eligibility is patient-facing or 65 and older. Since vaccines are in short supply in our area overall, I strongly encourage all eligible staff to schedule that appointment this week if you haven't gotten your first dose of vaccine. To schedule an appointment, fill out the online vaccine request form posted on the internet and the Partners in Care Resource Center. Home health aides can also call the Home Health Aide Vaccine Hotline to request a vaccine appointment. And that number is 212-609-4126. We're also in the beginning to give second doses of the vaccine this week to staff who have got their first doses in early January, so that is exciting for us. And I just want to say a big thank you to everyone who's been engaged in the vaccine clinic. It's been an amazing set of work that's been done, and I'm truly personally appreciative of all the work of each person engaged in the clinic. All right, so continuing on the update, rates of new COVID cases and hospitalizations in the New York region are down slightly from recent highs, but of course we know that they remain elevated. So it's important that everyone stays vigilant, and practice preventative measures, all the things we do now, social distancing, wearing a mask, washing hands, all those things, whether you've been vaccinated or not, we need to be doing all those. Let's stay on it. All right. I hope we're going to switch gears now away from COVID-19 and on to some other news. And so I hope you saw in yesterday's Frontline article that about the International Holocaust Remembrance Day, which was January 27th. This is an important day of remembrance for all of us, and especially for those at VNSNY who were personally impacted by the Holocaust. It's even more important at this particular time in history, when hateful language and acts are on the rise in the U.S. and around the world. It's a good reminder to us that we must never forget our history and the things that happened and how they happened and why they happened. All right, this is also the start of Black History Month, in which we acknowledge and honor the contributions and accomplishments of the Black and African American community and its role in American history. And I'm excited to say that we have a number of different celebrations planned starting this week with profiles of three pioneering Black VNSNY nurses, which will be posted on Frontline over the next several weeks. So please, please go check them out. It's something to be really proud of at VNSNY. Later this week, also we'll be launching a raffle for tickets to a virtual event on Saturday, February 20th, with Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates, Jr., the historian and host of the PBS show Finding Your Roots. Details on how to enter the raffle will be sent out shortly, so stay tuned and keep a lookout for that. There's also much more planned. You can read about what else is planned in my email, which came out today. And also, you can download our VNSNY Black History Month Zoom backgrounds from the internet or the Zoom app. And so those are actually pretty cool, and I've been using mine, and I think it's a great way to continue to recognize Black History Month all month. All right. I also want to use the weekly call, so we're going to move to something different, and I want to use these calls to introduce what we're calling objectives and key results, also known as OKRs for short. And there's going to be more training and things like that on this, but these OKRs are going to help guide us over the next year. It's really a goal-setting process that helps to focus and align the organization. So, many of you are aware of the process we do every year of defining annual goals and then at the end of the year measuring against those. This is a different type of methodology, which is much shorter in duration, has much more feedback loop put in, and really, again, helps to focus on the key things that we want to accomplish as an organization. And so a little bit more on OKRs. O is objectives. Objectives are the what, and really meant to stretch us to our potential. So that objective, we'll be talking in terms of moving big mountains. Right? That's what we need to be doing. The key results are the how. They monitor how we will achieve our objectives. We have five enterprise-level OKRs in all, and some of you have been exposed to them, and everybody will eventually see them over the coming weeks. But I want you to know one of those objectives and key results has to do with employee engagement. And the overall objective of this OKR is to become our region's employer of choice in every part of our organization. So that's our 2021 objective around employee engagement. I'm going to read it again. To become our region's employer of choice in every part of this organization, we cannot continue the great work of the mission at VNSNY without engagement in every employee across this organization. So one of the key results, all right, so that's the objective. One, there's several key results, but one key result I want to talk about today for this OKR is to implement our 2021 anti-racism plan across all six anti-racism strategic focus areas that were identified by our anti-racism employee advisory group, which we call the AREAG. And here are the six. So I'm going to give you the six strategic focus areas, and then under each one of these is a plan. And we've committed in 2021 to work on each one of these strategies and have specific tactics that we're going to engage in for each one. First one here is to support a culture that embraces diversity and inclusion with zero tolerance for racism. The second is to seek to increase representation of Black leaders and people of color within senior leadership and our board of directors. The third is to ensure objectivity and equity in compensation and performance management. The fourth is to strive to maximize VNSLI's engagement with communities of color to expand our programs and services that address health disparities. And I love this one because this is just 100% aligned with the founding mission and the mission we hold today of our organization, and we want to continue to do more of it. The fifth is to enhance our celebration of diversity across VNSLI, and the sixth strategy around this is to enhance alignment of the Partners in Care and CMHS workforce with VNSLI. And Black History Month is a good time to reinforce our commitment to these goals, but I can assure you that this commitment will be ongoing and that we will be hearing, you will be hearing much more about these anti-racism activities and all of our key objectives and key results in the months to come. And so we will essentially communicate each one of these commitments. We will communicate how we're going to measure success against them. And then we're going to track them together and make sure that we hold each other accountable for making big, big, bold movements in this area and all our other objectives. All right, so that's my update for this week. And I'm going to turn to the questions that you sent in. And again, the new email address is askceo@bnsny.org. All right. First question here, and this question I will hand to Andrea, which is, actually, I can answer this one. What would the aides do? What would the home health aides do if they hadn't had a chance to receive the vaccination? And the answer to that was in what I stated before. So there is a hotline that can be called. That's the easiest way to make an appointment, and that number is 212-609-4126. All right, you can also, there are an online request form in the Partners of Care Resource Center, but I would encourage our home health aides to call the number to get scheduled. That's a good way to do it. All right, second question, and I'm going to punt this one over to Michael Bernstein. How can I order more PPE supplies?
Yeah, actually, Andrea is going to answer this question for us, Dan. So I'm going to turn it over to her.
Perfect.
Yep.
All right.
That's okay.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Andrea Castellanos. I'm the Chief of Provider Services. So if a home health aide needs more PPE, there's a number of different ways they can get it. They can email to the following email address, hha@bnsny.org. Make sure you have your name, your Partners in Care ID number, and specifically the items that you need. You can also always reach out to your supervisor who will help you meet your PPE needs. And that the PPE can either be mailed to you or you can pick it up at the main site. So those are the different ways, and if there's any other issues you have, you can also call 212-609-7600. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. The next question is a good one. Can a home health aide who works for another agency besides Partner in Care sign up on our wait list. They are serving our vulnerable patient population, but many agencies are not assisting in vaccinations. And I believe the answer is, at this point, we are not vaccinating those outside of our workforce, but I'll ask Andrea to make sure that that's correct and to clarify.
Yes, that's correct, Dan. At this point, we are offering vaccine to Partners in Care and VNSNY employees who meet the state definition in terms of priority categories, which is direct field staff or over the age of 65. Thank you, Dan.
All right, thank you. And Andrea, you're going to be busy this morning. After we have received, here's another one. After we have received the second dose of the vaccine, what are the regulations if we travel out of state? How long do we quarantine? When do we get a COVID test? And is rapid testing acceptable? And so I'll let Andrea answer that question. And then do we have a resource center for folks to go that answers all these things? I think would be good.
Yes, Dan. So after you receive the second dose of vaccine, none of the regulations change for you in terms of travel outside of state, in terms of how long you need to quarantine, in terms of the type of PPE you need to wear, in terms of the protocols you follow, both in work and outside of work, to keep you safe. And so nothing changes for you. In terms of the next question is, when do we get a COVID test? So there would be no need to get a COVID test unless you had symptoms after the second vaccine, or unless you work in a nursing home or assisted living facility which requires proof of COVID testing. And the last question is a rapid test acceptable? And most nursing homes and assisted living facilities, if you work in those areas for Visiting Nurse Service of New York or Partners in Care, do not accept the rapid test, and they want a PCR test. I don't know if Tony's on the line. I know he was having trouble with his connection. Tony, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
I think he got kicked. Tony, do you have anything to add to what I just said?
Yes, Andrew, the only thing we just need to just confirm is with regard to folks who have got vaccinated, to make sure that they do not have to get rapid tests when they come back from travel, because the state has not eased up that requirement yet, but we will watch that very, very closely as more people get vaccinated. But for now, you're correct. We have to follow all the protocols that are still in place. So we'll watch that very, very closely as we move forward, especially in the next couple of weeks as more people get vaccinated. Thanks, Andrea.
Dan, it's Michael Bernstein, and if I could jump in for one moment because of your question. So this is Michael Bernstein. I am our Chief Experience Officer. And Dan sort of said, is all this information that Andrea just responded to available for people to read and otherwise get the answers? And we want to remind everybody that we have, on our intranet, for those who have access to it, we have the COVID-19 hub and we have the Vaccinate VNSNY hub. And for these conference calls, the information that the answers that are provided, a full and complete transcript of the questions and the answers is posted on the COVID-19 hub on our intranet. For the conference calls that Andrea hosts on Mondays that are specific to the Vaccinate VNSNY program, those transcripts are fully posted on the Vaccinate VNSNY hub. But in addition, you will find a lot of information in both of those locations, specifically with respect to these questions on the Vaccinate VNSNY. If you go to that banner, click on that banner and scroll down and look for the various subject matter headings that are there. So I hope that helps folks know where to go to get answers to their questions in addition to this conference call. Thank you, Dan.
Terrific. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it. Next one, on behalf of Rosemarie Navasato, she would like to, and I will join her in this, give a shout out to our field staff who work through the snowstorm. And I should have said that at the beginning of the call. What a tremendous effort our staff does every single day, and snowstorm notwithstanding. And so we went and saw patients, and I didn't get mail because apparently the post office no longer is rain, snow, sleet, or whatever the case may be. They took the day off. So thank you very much for that reminder, and a big thank you to everybody. All right, next one.
Trying to get clarification on that, Dan.
Yeah, the clarification on the HHA supplies?
Yeah, I'm trying to get clarification on that.
Okay, all right. Increasingly, all right, here's the next question. Increasingly, patients are requesting aides who have been vaccinated. Please advise as to what should the approved response be to patients' requests, since being vaccinated is voluntary and should be HIPAA-protected. And I believe, Andrea, that's what you're talking about. We were going to get back on this one. This is a very important question. I believe that's what you're referring to. Is that right?
Actually, I was referring to the previous one.
The other
but,
one. All right.
Yeah. So this is a great question. Patients are requesting aides who have been vaccinated. And how should the aides respond or the nurses respond to this question? This was similar, Tony, to the question of patients saying, have you been tested, right? A lot of patients wanted to know if you've been tested. And so, Tony, what did we recommend the response to that question be? I know you and your team had worked on that.
So, Andrew, great question, and we're actually working through this as we speak. We actually were talking about this morning with regard to what our stance would be about telling patients that we're either vaccinated or not. But regardless of whether you're vaccinated or not, you still have to wear the appropriate PPE because we still don't know, even if you're vaccinated, that you could still spread the virus to another person or they could spread it to you. So for now, we have to stay with our protocols in place, and we will come up with an answer with regard to what you tell a patient if you are vaccinated or not. As you said in your email, it is not a requirement that you get vaccinated, so we have to be careful about how we respond to this. And we'll come back to you with a more definitive answer on this. Thanks, Andrea.
Dan, it's Michael Bernstein, Chief Experience Officer, and I just wanted to jump in for one moment for a point of clarification what we were just speaking about. So we did get an email asking about how Partners in Care home health aides can get PPE and supplies, and Andrea provided an answer just a couple of minutes ago that included an email address, hha@bnsny.org. But we got information during this call that there are some problems with that email box, and we'll get that straightened out. But there's another email box if you're a home health aide on this call, and it is the letters PAR for the first three letters of partners, PAR, and then the underscore, like the underline, and then facilities, PAR_facilities@bnsny.org. And that will work for you as a Partners in Care home health aide if you need to request additional PPE or supplies. And I'll add one other thing. While I was mentioning that all of the transcripts for these calls are available on the intranet, for all the Partners in Care home health aides, the transcripts are also available on the Partners in Care section of Frontline BNSNY, which you can access from any browser on your phone or through a computer. So all of the transcripts and all of the information related to the vaccination program is accessible to the home health aides as well. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Michael, for that clarification. And I have one last follow-up question on the quarantine, which is how many days do we need to quarantine when we return from out-of-state travel? And, Tony, can you clarify this for us?
He may have dropped off the call.
Tony may have dropped off. Okay.
Yep, I know he's having trouble. I want to get clarification from him because the rules keep changing. So let me see if I can get clarification in the next minute. If not, we'll post it as a question on the website.
Yep, we can do that. It changes, so we have to be careful. And if there is a very specific set of guidelines as we look at the travel advisory section on the New York health.newyork.gov.
It also depends on whether you get tested before and after.
Yep.
And so that's why I want to be very careful how we answer that question.
What we're going to do is we're going to post the answer to this question, because if you read through, there's an if and then statement. So if you take your test before you come back, then it's 3 days, and then on day four you get your test, and so on and so forth. So there's a couple of different if then statements in that, and so we're going to post a correct and complete answer to that on the website. So take a look for that, and we'll make sure we get that out. All right, and with that,
all right,
go ahead,
Dan. I do have get tested 3 to 5 days after travel and stay home for 7 days after travel. So that is what our infectious disease expert is telling us. But we will post this. I think it's important to make sure we're getting it right. And these rules change based on what the learnings are from the CDC and New York State. And so that's why we just want to be really careful as we give you the answer to the travel question. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Andrea. All right. So with that, two things have happened. We are at the bottom of the hour, and I am out of questions. So I really appreciate all who attended today, and I look forward to next week and look forward to meeting and seeing people back in the office someday soon. And take care out there, both in the snow, and be safe in this pandemic. And if you're eligible, please get vaccinated. And do all your safety precautions and everything we've been working so hard. And thank you, most of all, for all that you all do. And it's much appreciated by me and the rest of the leadership team. All right. Take care, everybody.